How did Nicola and Prince become such big spirits? How did they keep their wholeness in a class system premised on force? Both men were far from exempt from it. Nicola alludes several times in his autobiography to his having been beaten by the men in his life, it seems, as a child. He generally describes this payment for his precociousness in a sardonic or rather genuinely humorous tone. Quote, "I did very well with the pop gun he'd made, but my activities interfered with the window panes in our house and met with painful discouragement," unquote. His reaction to adult violence was typical of children. He puzzled it out unconsciously, and it was very much akin to that of Prince, who likewise had to cope with the violence of a parent. Faced with a puzzle of adult grimness in a world so full of joyful explorations, i.e. things aplenty to keep us intellectually engaged and physically happy, that is, joyful, he tracked the problem to insufficiency, want, shortages, and set his life course to provide us with abundance. Is it humor, a well into which Prince likewise dips, that conveys a certain protective power to children placed in the way of the inexplicable and implacable violence of the class-deranged humans around them? Or is humor but a side effect or aspect of an ability to stand apart, create the distance of objectivity, of curiosity, of thought, between oneself and the worst of the violence of adults? Where did it come from, one wonders, when one considers two such unbroken circles as Nicola and Prince? One wonders if the mother provided an alternative interpretation of life. Both men displayed a not typical underclass appreciation of women. Nicola's asexuality, or no asexuality in quotes, because we don't know. That's a reference to speculation in Margaret's book. And could it be that the objectivity granted by consoling thought is but one of several beatific shades that the soul can drape over a mad, active, wide-ranging light of reason that both were so heavily endowed in? The weight of it turned them both to solutions. They are both such furious thinkers and good livers merged in a joyous feud, and their vision both so satisfyingly broad and deep and vast. Both could see from far above earthly things, as Nicola put it. They were destined to solve the big questions and place themselves unranked with Proudhon and Alice and all our other heavyweights of love. As with Samuel Butler, thought freed them from fear. Interest in that something deeply hidden behind things places events in a much bigger scheme than the pathetic delusions of power. And while Nicola, so methodical and practical in his delivery to us of his marvels, prioritized the elimination of scarcity, Prince, no slouch in his powers of analysis either, decided to go even deeper into that something deeply hidden that made these adult humans so miserable, looked for vibrancy of soul and found it wanting. Joy, happiness, then, became his priority. It is joy Earth teaches. It is joy Earth gives. Joy we return. Joy the point of all we do. Joy that frees us as it dissipates the hate class teaches in the light we make with her. But on this, all our heavyweights are agreed. Thought stimulated is mad sexy, and we want more of it. It puts us in that bigger scheme, which is where we want to be.
Press one for the money, press two for the dream. Get ready for something that you never seen. The Dolphin Machine. Go, baby. The Dolphin Machine. Go, baby. Go, baby.
Tell me, Barbarella. Turn it on.
Somebody else is in it. You there with a simple disposition. Perhaps you'd like to join us in a mission. A mission for logic in a think tank. Unless of course you're feeling like a punk at the bank. But every now and then it comes down. Must have been your right to die. Live again, live again, live again. Get up, get up, get up. Get off the machine. It's alright, baby.
Go, baby.
Don't be shy.
Get off the machine.
Yeah, I ain't gonna hurt you.
Está muerto. Prince está muerto. Que viva para siempre el poder de la nueva generación.